This is my Bible.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
I am a believer.
Not a doubter.
I am a doer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith coming by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
All right.
Well, Psalms 139 and 16, going to jump right into it. I want to talk to you from the subject of understanding God's will.
Psalms 139 and 16 in the Amplified says, "You saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them." And this just simply shows us that, number one, God knew who we were before we ever got here. He ordained us to be here, and that he has a specific plan for each of our lives. And so doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, how you feel, what your background is, God has a specific plan for all of our lives. When you begin to talk about understanding God's will, we have really what we call, I kind of like to show it to you this way, we have what we call the sovereign will of God. I like to kind of put it on one side, have the sovereign will of God. This is what God is going to do no matter what, all right? Then over here we have the moral will of God, and this is what God has already said in his word. Kind of, let me actually back up. We have the sovereign will of God. Some things are going to happen. How many know Jesus is going to come back? You got it. That's his sovereign will, you know. And then we have the moral will of God. And in the moral will of God, this is what God has already said in his word. You got it. He teaches us that we should not kill and we should not steal and that we should flee fornication and just those kind of things. And so we understand the moral will of God, that we are to walk in love and joy and peace and contentment and those kind of things. So we've got this sovereign will of God. We've got this moral will of God. And I believe that right in the middle of those is what we find, which is the personal will of God for each of our lives. This is what God desires for our lives. And so the better I understand this sovereign will of God and the better I understand the moral will of God, I will be able to discern God's personal will for my life. I understand God's going to do what he's going to do no matter what. Then I understand that there are some instructions in his word that I need to make sure that I abide by. And if I do that, I will find myself right in the middle of those, believing that he's going to lead me right into the personal will of God for my life. Does that make sense? So the big question is, thank you, if I'm in between the lanes, why might be it, Pastor, that I'm not exactly figuring out God's personal will for my life? It's a good question. You got it. There's a lot of answers to that question. I kind of believe that you have to kind of use the process of elimination. And I'm not going to talk about all of them tonight, but I'm going to talk about a few things tonight. And one of the reasons that I really believe that sometimes we don't really land initially in the perfect will of God for our lives is because there's too many voices. I really, really believe that. I believe that there's too many voices. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? And so I believe that, you know, and I don't want to get into that whole scripture. That scripture has a lot of meat on its bones, because if you really understand it, it says there is a way, singular. You got it? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, plural, of death. Sometimes you not listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to auntie or listening to a horoscope or Dr. Phil, you got it, you know, or a fortune cookie, or if the light turns green in 3 seconds, I should marry him. You understand what I'm saying? Like if you do that, you enter into one way that can lead into several ways that you wish you'd never gone. Can I get a... All right. And so, it's not that God isn't talking. Sometimes we just have too many voices that we're listening to. Sometimes it's because of out of respect. You love mama or you love auntie. And I'm not knocking anybody. You got it. But at the end of the day, you got it. I need to hear the personal will of God for my life. You got it. Now, don't get me wrong. I say that, but sometimes mama is the right person to listen to. If mama is saved, you understand what I'm saying, has a relationship with God, you know, but that's not everybody's case. You got it. But watch this. Even what mama tells me should line up with what the Holy Spirit has been putting in my heart. Does that make sense? All right. And so, so we have to learn, the word of the Lord that came to us on Sunday is if we will put God at the top of our list, he'll become the loudest voice. You got it. We have to make him our priority. And so we make him our priority and making sure that we spend time with him and spend time in his word and those kind of things. And it's so vitally important. As a pastor, I have given you absolutely everything up to this point that I know to give you, from prayer guides to confession books to devotions that are right at your fingertips on your devices. And, we just have so many different things going on. But how many know that it's up to you to dive into those things and take part of them, and then if you do, you'll see God move in your life. And then let me just be honest. For some of us, the reason we can't really get his personal will down is some of us, our lives are too hectic. Like we will blame it on, schedules and the kids. And I know that we have kids and they do stuff, and I get that, but you're still able to say what we are going to do and what we're not going to do. Does that make sense? You got it. Hannah, she rides horses, and I love the fact that she does that. I'm thankful that I'm blessed to be able to do something like that for her. You got it? But, she could be at a show every Sunday. Well, we serve the Lord. You got it? And so we're going to be at church on Sunday. And people say, oh, you say that because you're the pastor. No, see, you don't know me. Because long before I was ever a pastor, matter of fact, since I have been a pastor, I miss more Sundays now than I did before. That's because, and I don't miss many. How many Sundays I miss in 2018? Two? Maybe? Yeah. One or two, and it was only because I was on the road. You got it. I didn't miss them for vacation, and I should be able to miss one Sunday for vacation. You got it. So you can't say, well, you saying that because you're the pastor. No. I've always been like that. I've just always, and of course, I'm not trying to put my convictions on you, but what I am saying is that you have to make sure that God is at the top. Not that we got football, then we got this, and if we make it to church. Does that make sense? All right, it's quiet. Does that mean I'm in the right spot? And so, and I'm certainly not against vacation. I'm certainly not against kids doing things, And so we told, we looked at the schedule with Hannah, and there's so many that she will go and do, And then when she is, because I think a lady was gone with her four or five times last year. And I told y'all, hey, lady's not here. She's, with Hannah. And just like we support you guys when your kids do something, we believe you'll understand when lady's missing. Does that make sense? And Hannah, she totally understands. Dad's going to drive where I am and see me on Saturday. But Saturday after I show, he's getting on the road. He's going to go back home because Dad likes to be home by 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he don't leave the house after that because I want to have good rest. So when Sunday morning comes, you're not wondering, what's wrong with Pastor? Because you can tell when people are tired. Isn't that right? Yeah. And you know the enthusiasm and the energy and the excitement that I have every Sunday when I get up. And that's what you come for. You understand? I know you come for the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? You don't come up for me saying, hey, y'all, okay, well, let's see what the Lord's going to say today. That's not what you come for. It is your hope that pastor has been in prayer, that pastor has studied, and he has well-rested his body. You got it, So when the praise team tonight said that they've got something new, come on, what you got? I'm ready for you. Because it is my hope that they have been practicing. And it showed tonight that they have been practicing. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a good place to clap. What is the key to all of that, Pastor? The key is balance. How do I balance, Pastor? You cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit where he leads you and he guides you and he directs you and he helps you. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so that's just real important because, all of us are busy. All of us have a lot going on. I can use the worship team. They all, they have kids and they have different things going on, but you always see them. You got it? And sometimes it's a sacrifice that they have to make sure that they're here on time, and they miss stuff sometimes. And so what I'm saying is we have to be led by the Spirit of God, and if we're led by the Spirit of God, we'll make good choices. So the key is cultivating a relationship with God where his voice is the loudest voice. John 10 and 27, he says that my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And so that is the key. I want to give you over these next few minutes a test to filter every thought and decision. You got it? This is a little bit different than those points I gave you a few weeks ago. These kind of go along with those. If you remember, I gave you some a few weeks ago. And so I want to give you kind of a test, as the case may be, of how I go about filtering every thought and every decision that I make. Y'all ready to go? Here we go. Real easy one. Number one, super easy. Does it agree with the Bible? You got it. Does it agree with the Bible? Luke 21 and 33 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You got it. And so we'll go back to, I know they were trying to take pictures of that, so we'll go back to the point. Does it agree with the Bible? So, a lot of words will pass away, but God's word is always good. All right? So watch this. God's word is not sometime good. And God's word doesn't change even though culture changes. His word is always good. You got it. If you notice, you know, we've got a ministry of integrity. We've got a ministry where we teach the word. We believe in the word of faith. We believe in healing. We believe in prosperity. You know, we believe that God wants us healed and saved and blessed and all those kind of things. We believe in holiness. We believe in doing things the right way. But at the same time, you got it. You know, we got big screens and we've got lights and pastor dresses down. You got, and so those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You understand what I'm saying? And so I believe some things change, but watch this. Even in certain things changing, the word of God has never changed. Does that make sense? We've never deviated from the word of God. We always said the word is what it is because we find it in the word. Amen? So we don't come up and say, well, now, you know, because it's 2018 now, the Bible said that. But what it really means is no, it means what it says. Does that make sense? So as a believer, every decision we make should be based on the word. The word of God is life's instruction manual. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou shalt observe to do according to all therein that is written. And it says, if you do these things, then you are going to make your way prosperous, and you are going to have good success. Who makes your way prosperous? You do. You got it? Because God has already done everything that he needs to do, so now it's up to me to live out this word. And so that's number one. Does it agree with the Bible? So that's vitally important. You know, it has to agree with the word of God. You got it. It has to agree with the word of God. You know, you believe him for a husband. You got it. You didn't have a dream and God showed you that somebody else's husband was your husband. It don't work like that. You understand what I'm saying? That does not work like that. You got it. You know, God did not give you the dream. Somebody gave you a dream. Some spirit gave you the dream, but it was not the Holy Spirit. No, I mean, look, we done seen it all. We done seen it all. Praise the Lord. All right, number two. Everybody say number two. Am I in right relationship with God? This is very, very important. You know, as it comes to the will of God for my life and me making decisions and processing every thought, you know, am I in right relationship with God? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Am I submitted to his way? Because how many know that all of us in the room, including me, has something called this flesh that likes to do what it wants to do? You got it? And that's just the bottom line. You know, the Bible says that the flesh, it wars against the spirit, that is enmity against God. And so the flesh likes to do what it wants to do. You got it? The flesh says, don't worry about it. Just cheat on your taxes. Nobody will find out. You got it? That's, you know, you got it. Just flirt on the job because nobody from church goes to the job. Praise the Lord. The flesh. So you on vacation. Nobody will know. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Praise the Lord. But watch this. If you're not careful, there is a way that seemeth right. So I'm on vacation, and I was just going to try it one time, not understanding. Come here, Joe and Chandler and Ben and Ronald. Y'all come here. And Pat, come here. Come close. Chandler, stand right here, and everybody else just line up right together, shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder. Oh, I need one more guy. No, wait. Yeah, I need one more guy. Ooh, yep, come on, Mitch. Pat, come this way. Everybody come this way. All right, Mitch, get on the end. All right, now take a step to your right, step to your left, step to your left, step to your left. You stay right there, all right? I'm just going to try one time. You know, because I love the Lord, and I normally do everything the right way and those kind of things, and, you know, but I'm with my friend, and, you know, my friend is like, girl, you just got to live YOLO. You only live once. Where'd you hear that from, Pastor? Second row behind me. All right. So the Bible says that there is a way, one way that seemeth right. It's not the right thing to do, but at the appropriate time, at the specific time, it seemed like it's the right thing to do. So there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, one way that seemeth right. What I don't understand is when I get on the other side, it begins to close up and now I can't get back. So there's a way. I was just going to try one time. And all it takes is the devil to let me get in at one time for it to become an addiction. All it takes is the devil for me to get one time. And watch this. And I never get back, watch this, to where I'm going just like that. Everybody, take one step, except for Pat, to the left. Okay, as a matter of fact, just spread out a little bit more. One hand up. Need a little room. Yeah, there you go. Left the line. There you go. All right. Joe's like, I ain't been in the military. I don't know about all that. Take a step to the right, Pat. So there's a way, one way that seemeth right unto a man. And that one way lead to ways. You got it? Addiction. Watch this. Addiction. Disease. Depression. All because I was having a good time. And I allowed my flesh to take the front row, and I told my spirit man just to take a break because I'm going to pick you back up after I get off of vacation. And so one way lead it to a whole bunch of way. Now, thanks be unto God that he can get me back. Thanks be unto God that he's a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. But why go that way if I don't have to go that way? Give these brothers a big hand. You got it? When I say you got it, that's when you say got it. All right. So you have to be careful with those kind of things. Does that make sense? All right. The writer says in Romans 12 and 2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. And so we renew our mind with information and saturation. Information is the word of God. Saturation is to hear it over and over and over and over. That is why we put the podcast on the website absolutely free. You got it? People always ask me, you know, y'all only at least charge 99 cents to download. No, it's free. No, I mean, most people do. You understand? And I'm not knocking that, but we text it to you. If you don't ever buy a CD, it's okay, because we're not trying to sell CDs to pay the light bill. We believe in tithes and offerings. That's God's plan to prosper your life and to take care of these facilities. Does that make sense? And so, amen. All right. And so as I renew my mind to God's way of doing things, I can better understand his will for my life. So we should never make decisions when we are emotional or hurt or we're going to regret it later. Does that make sense? All right. What number are we? Number three? Let's what was number one? Okay, Tiffany, there you go. Or was that Robin? No, that couldn't have been Robin, all right. I'm just playing, y'all. She okay, she ain't gonna take it the wrong way. All right. Okay, don't say that. Does it agree with the Bible? Number two. Okay, all right. Am I right? Number three, does it make me more like Christ? Now listen, y'all. I really believe that all of us at some time really struggle with this one, and let me tell you why. Because most of us at some point in our life have had kids that have played sports. And y'all know how we get when we go to the football field, the basketball field. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to foul out my boy? That's my boy. That was not a foul rep. You don't know what you're doing. You need to sit down and let me take over because I can rep way better because you've been messing up the whole time. And then lady says, you're a pastor. And my flesh says, I don't care right now. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying. So then I have to calm down because thank God he does have the loudest voice in my life. And then it's, even though I don't feel like it because I know ladies right and Holy Spirit is like, man. And then I'm like, okay, all right. You know, but then under my breath, he's still a bad ref. But I'm not going to show out. You understand? He's just still a bad ref. And so, and if you ever get close enough to me to really know me, you'll understand that I really want to do the right thing all the time. Like, my heart is always, like, if I mess up, I'm not afraid to say, hey, that's my fault. That's my bad. You understand? And so, you know, there was this big rival game, and I mean, it was going crazy, y'all. I'm just going to be honest. It was going crazy. You understand what I'm saying? And, the visiting team came to us, and they brought everybody. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. They brought Pookie and all of them. You understand what I'm saying? And so we yelling, they yelling louder than us. And I'm like, well, hold on, this is our house. You understand? And, you know, it is crazy. You understand? And so, they yelling at the ref when they don't agree. We yelling at the ref when we don't agree, you know. And then they saying stuff to us. And, you know, I just keep looking. I'm trying to keep, keep it, you know. And then one time, I don't know what that guy said to me. And I didn't even, this is the honest to God's truth. It just happened. I was like, what you say? And I was like, calm down. I was like, okay, yeah. That's right. I calmed down. So then I got back up in front of everybody. I said, hey, that's my bad. That's my fault. You understand what I'm saying? You know, even though you was wrong, it's my bad. Now, because I'm trying to get it right. You got it? I'm trying to get it right. And then I go over, and at the end, I want to go over and shake the guy's hand because that's just how I am. You got it? Because it ain't nothing personal. It's just a game. We got a little too excited. You understand what I'm saying? Ain't nobody sinned. You understand? And so, and so I went to try to shake his hand, and he wanted to tell me that I ought to be ashamed of myself because I'm a pastor. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then started rebuking me. That's what I said. Now, I was overly passionate, but I didn't do anything wrong. You got it? And so, you know, I tried to reason with him. You got it? And he didn't want to hear that. So then I try to tell him that the Bible says rebuke not an elder. Because the Bible does say that. He won't listen to that neither. And I was, you know, I was really trying to talk to him. And then he started raising his voice. You got it? And I don't know how my voice started raising. Like, I'm serious. It just was not, like, it was really not what I wanted. But I've learned that, you know, because we were talking about this the other day. Hannah comes in, and I'm on the phone talking to Pastor Evan and Pastor Sarah. They're in their new building, y'all. First service. What service? First service, all right, had 900 people show up to the first service. First service. 70 people got saved in the first service. 56 people got saved in the second service. So he pictured, I should have sent this to y'all so you could put it up on the screen. He sent me a picture of the line that was wrapped all the way down the street onto the freeway. And we always confess the same thing. People stand in line to come to our church. People sit in line to come and hear the word of faith. And as they hear it, that their lives are changed and impacted in an amazing way. You got it. And so, you know, if you know Pastor Sar, she's Jamaican. So she talks loud. So I have this thing that however you talk, that's how I talk. So I walk in. So Lady and Hannah walk in. And so Lady laughs. I'm like, what's wrong? She says, Hannah wants to know why you're yelling. I said, because her Auntie Sar is yelling. And that's just what I do. And so, you know, after it was all over, I was able to find the guy on Facebook. Sent him a message and said, hey, man, I apologize. You got it. Even though he shouldn't have, you know, I said, at the end of the day, no excuses. You understand what I'm saying? We got too overly passionate, you know, about the game, you know, but I don't ever want that to be, you know, I told him I'm not interested in ever making God look bad. So if I did, I apologize. You got it? So my whole thing is, he didn't respond, it's okay. Because this is what you have to understand about forgiveness and apologies and all this. I did my part. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter if he goes and tells the whole world, that guy, you better not go to his church because he's, you know, carnal. It don't matter. I did what I can do. And when you apologize to somebody, you got to understand that's all you can do. If they don't forgive you, that's on them. You understand? So God forgave me. And if you don't, that's on you. So I'm going on with the rest of my life. I'm cool. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. But I still should make every attempt to make sure that whatever I'm doing is producing Christ-like qualities. Now, I will say this. Sometimes games and stuff, that is more an exception as how we should live our everyday lives. Does that make sense? And so, no, not that I shouldn't get too excited at the games, you know, but, you know, I can see that happening, but what I can't see happening is every day you being mean to people. Every day you running folks down. You understand what I'm saying? Like, your day-to-day, you got it, should be like, oh, no, that guy, that girl, you know what I'm saying? They're living a Christ-like life. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Just putting that out there. Number five. Let's go home, Courtney. Okay, well, sorry. I apologize. Number four. Have I sought godly counsel? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:4, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. God never intended for you to do life alone. We all need healthy relationships. Everyone needs spiritual authority in their life. You got it? Now, I'll tell you, I'm your pastor, not your master. You got it? But all I can do is tell you what the Word of God says, and then you move from there. Because I'm never going to make decisions for you. It's not my job. You got it? Number five, is it my responsibility? Sometimes you get into stuff that you don't need to get in. Because if it's not your responsibility, why would God talk to you about it? And you can't fix everybody's situation. Because the Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. People sometimes will spend their lives trying to do or fix something that God never told them to do or fix. So the key is to focus on what God wants you to do, which will lead to my next point, number six, do I sense God's peace? Let me just help you when it comes to the will of God. Peace is my green light. If I don't have peace, I'm not stepping out. Peace is my green light, right? The only time I've ever not had peace and it was God's will is because I was in fear to take the next step. Make sense? Sometimes God will challenge you to do something. You got to go, oh, on you. I don't got no peace about that. No, that's because you let a little fear step in, keeping you from God wanting to do something great in your life. And so I've got a sense God's peace. And then number seven, last one, is it my will or thy will? And so this is the point that we all have to get to, where it's not our agenda, but is his agenda and his purpose for our lives. Because if we're not careful, we'll spend years going after something that he's never called us to do. And so God needs you, but it's about fulfilling his purpose. And in fulfilling his purpose, you will be fulfilled. You know, the biggest mistake that Lucifer made in heaven was he thought it was all about him. And it's never about us. It's always about God. Always about God. When people talk to me about our church and that kind of thing, man, I say, man, God is faithful. You know, God is God. It's just God. He's blessing us. It's God. And I always do that. And they say, oh, one guy told me, I know you're trying to be humble, but you know you. And I said, no, it's God. It's him. He is the one that has given me the ability. He's the one that's given me the wisdom. He's the one that's given me the strength. So it doesn't matter. It always goes back to God. Does that make sense? Yeah, it always goes. Everything God's doing in this ministry, it's God. it's just a privilege to be the preacher. You got it? And I'll be a fool to mess this up. You got it? Yeah, I ain't gonna mess this up. You got it? I mean, you know, I appreciate that you do pray for me. You know, but I just made up in my something you ain't got to pray about. I would be a fool to mess all this up. And so I'm gonna live holy. I'm gonna walk right. I'm not gonna be perfect. I'm gonna yell at a ref every once in a while. I'm just gonna tell y'all. Till the kids graduate and then I'm done. But I'm pretty good for the most part when it goes to game. I just want y'all to know that was that one time. Ask Mark Morgan. He's been there some basketball games. I'm pretty good. I don't want y'all to think, oh man, we got a crazy pastor. Amen. So any success in life is always about him. Anything good that happens for you is always about him. Any blessings is always about him. The peace you have is because of him. The joy you have is because of him. You walking around healed in your body is because of him. Everything goes back to him. My wife and I have been married 20 years. It's because of him. And you've always got to keep Christ at the center. If it had not been for the Lord, that was on my side. Lucifer made it all about him. Isaiah 4, verses 12 through 15. Just listen at this and see if you can't pick up this. How art thou fallen from heaven? Like, how in the world did you mess that up? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? Which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart. Watch what he said in his heart. For thou hast said in his heart. What's those next two words? I will. Messed up. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. No, you won't. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And so in life, something I learned years ago, I was probably 21 when I learned this, that the way to go up is to go down. If you will humble yourself, then God will exalt you. That's the bottom line. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. We thank you.